Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name to get together. Truly today is just another wonderful day for us to come together and exalt that wonderful name of Jesus. I want you to know I am as truly excited that you are here with me on today, and we are excited about what God have in store for us on today in another beautiful lesson. Truly, we are sitting at a wonderful season and time in life in which God is just moving by his power divine, and his people are being tremendously blessed. We are truly excited about what God is doing in and through the lives of his people. And I want to say I'm excited about you and for the fresh new season and the fresh new day that God have made, and we're going to rejoice therein. But not only is it a fresh day, but it's a fresh opportunity, and it's a fresh time that of refreshing, and a day that you can step into all that God has for you, even on this day that God has for you. So leave the cares of yesterday and yesterday and stand in the fresh new place today. Today our lesson is going to be on the search for meaning in life. And we're going to look at the from the biblical text of Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verses number 2 through verse number 11. And we want you to come right on in and grab your Bibles and just make yourself right at home, because we're going to look at the word of the Lord and be blessed in and through it. So let us start off with prayer. Father, we thank you for your gracious kindness. We thank you for all that you've done and doing in and through the lives of your people, even to all of our radio listeners. We ask, oh God, that you would bless us by your power divine, all that we hear, and be a doers of your word. Let words of rhema fall fresh off our lips today, and let your people be strengthened and fortified through a live word that will ring forth and find place in and through their lives. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, amen and amen. So let's take a look at our scripture today. It reads Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verses 2 through verse 11. Vanities of vanity, says the preacher. Vanities of vanity, all is vanity. What profit have a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passed away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goes down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth towards the north, and turneth about unto the north. It spirals and wineth about continuously, and the wind return again according to his circus. All the rivers run into the seas, and yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where the river cometh, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eyes is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ears filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is what shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Now, that's the scripture reading that we have for this morning. And now we want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 14. It reads on this line, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so let's take a look at our lesson today and the thought in which we'll be looking at. You know, man is constantly searching for meaning in life. And even at this time in which we are today, people are starting anew and afresh, making resolutions and making new determination and mindset as they embark on a whole brand new beginning. And so as we're embarking on that new beginning, we must recognize that without the Lord, life has no meaning. Life's true meaning is realized when one keeps their hearts in tune with God's heart. And that must be vital in everything that we do. The scripture that comes to my heart and mindset, if we acknowledge God first, he will direct our path. And so acknowledging God first, God will direct our path as we acknowledge him. So now let us take a look further. Although God gave Solomon both wisdom as well as wealth, in his latter year, Solomon turned from God of the God of his youth, the God of David, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Solomon turned to follies and vanity. And it was in this state of mind, the spirit, that Solomon penned the book of Ecclesiastes. And the writing revealed the best scenario mankind can expect while living a life of plenty without his creator. Now, let us take a moment, because I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, to stop for just a moment. We must maintain the heart and the mind of God. Even after God has blessed, even after God has opened doors, and sometimes we can become so intoxicated with that which we have received and slowly forget about our God, who is the creator of that blessing, who is the one who empowered us to attain the wealth of knowledge, the wealth of resources, the wealth of support, the wealth of doors opening unto us. And so we cannot afford to forget the God who created all of this, and that the Lord God himself. And so this is what Solomon had done. He had forgotten the God of his own very salvation, the God of David, the God of his father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, let's look at this as we go further, because it let us know that Solomon, when he wrote this book, it was during the time in which he has found himself where he had turned to his follies and vanity. So let's examine the mindset of Solomon during this particular time. Now, Ecclesiastes is a definitive commentator on humanistic living. Ecclesiastes is the ultimate revelation of the heart of a fluent man without a relationship with God. Now, moreover, the book of Ecclesiastes, like no other commentary, it revealed the futility that lies in the heart and the mind of every backslider. Every point, every illustration, every argument about life in chapter 1 is negative. Thus, life without a redemptive relationship with God is negative. As one bumper sticker reads, no Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no life. And that's the first no is N-O, no Jesus, N-O, life. And then the second, the latter part is K-N-O-W, no Jesus, and K-N-O-W, no life. And so as human, we were meant to live our lives in close relationship and harmony with our creator. mankind cannot really live without a relationship with God. Now, let's take a look. Look at the man boasted by himself, self-importance, full of himself, but soul is empty. But the person in the right standing before God, so loyal and steady, believing in fully alive and really alive. Note well, money deceives. The arrogant rich don't last. They are hungrier for wealth than the grave is for cadavers. Like death, they always want more, but the more they get is dead bodies. They are cemeteries filled with dead nations, graveyards filled with corpses. Don't give people like this a second thought. Soon the whole world will be taunted them, will be taunting them. And this is Habakkuk 2, verses 4 through 8 from the Message Bible, the Old Testament Wisdom and book, Eugene H. Peterson. That's where that quote and thought came from. Now, Habakkuk of chapter number 2, verses number 4 through verse 8, Wells describes the unredeemed person who lives only in the content of his humanity. His soul is empty. It is the empty life of those who have departed or from the relationship with God, and they live their life apart from God. Now, when we take a look further, we receive that the life described by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes is that one without God. In contrast, is the person who lives alive in Jesus Christ, fully lives. He comes to the realization that true essence of life is lived in Jesus Christ, redeemed and sanctified by the Spirit of God. Now let's take a look at John 10 and 10. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Oh, the joys of the abundant life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let's take a look deeper and unpack this as we look further. Everything is vanity. And let's look at the problems of life. Without Jesus Christ, everything is vanity, a waste, or boring. Life in this present world is based on the profit and loss. Solomon apparently thought that the profit of life only involved eating, drinking, making merry, and fulfilling the lust of his flesh. But those experiences are the most shallow experiences of life in a temporal person. They do not even approach the significance and eternal experience of an individual. They add no values nor worth to mankind. They are only vanity for unredeemed mankind, known nothing else about real life of fulfillment and service in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's take a look at nothing changes. While fallen mankind pursues his dream, he fails to appreciate and understand the cycle of nature and the reciprocity of life. The law of sowing and reaping is a law set in nature by the Creator. Nothing can or will change the law. But without God, mankind quickly become disillusioned and bored with the cycle of nature. He complains, nothing ever changed. And with those words, he derives the life-giving cycle of life. However, the very consistency of nature and its cycle speak of a divine order to all things. So let's take a moment. We must recognize that there is a divine order to all things, and it's going to reciprocate, and it's going to continue to flow in that order. Now, Let's look at Malachi 3 and 6. It said, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, mankind needs to realize that God's unchangeable nature and mercy account for the continuance of this world. Only by his mercy does life exist and continue. Everything good comes from his hand. Now, let's look at the scriptural text. And it says, James chapter number 1, verse 17, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So here we have the biblical text as it takes talk to us and speak to us that nothing ever changes. All things is going to be the same, or nothing, every gift and every perfect gift come from above, from the Father of life, and of the shadow of no turning. And so here it let us know that everything that is going to exist and continue, it comes from the hands of God. Yes, things will change. Yes, things will happen and things, but it's all up under God's divine order to all things and his cycle that he has set in order for the people of God. Now, it is God's consistency that allows us to receive good and perfect gift from God, including our redemption. If God were changeable and like other ideologies or others' mindset and thoughts, mankind would never know or have hope of knowing the condition of their soul. God's consistency is our ally. God's unchangeability and his unchangeable word is the basis of our hope for eternity. And we want to take this time just to bind the forces, even of darkness, that even would not want this word to come out clear. And we take authority even over it because we call forth in the manifestation even a clarity of this word throughout this broadcast, so that words can go forth freely and clearly in Jesus' name. Now let's look at, again, nothing is new. Now let's look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. "Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. "There is, for if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new." Let's look at Revelation 21 and 5. "And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, there is a sense of truth in Solomon's words when he said there is nothing new under the sun. However, they reveal this detachment from God. God is a God of the new and living, not the old and dying. When a person anchored their life in the Lord, everything has a sense of newness about it, whether it is actually new or not. Everything about God is new, creative, springing forth with excitement and new life. Everything outside of God is dying, passing away, losing and the capacity, capacitating and decaying. Now, the life of man or woman with Jesus Christ is new and alive. And without Jesus Christ, it is dying and decaying. The very nature of hell and Satan is destroying life and kills and is to kill and to destroy life. Moreover, many people today have a low self-esteem for human life in general, which testify to man evil's heart and nature. But in Jesus Christ, everything is new and alive and experiencing a new birth. Now, it sounds juxtaposed. On one hand, it's one way, and then on the other, in the same vein, it's something different. Because we said at one point, nothing is new. And we must, again, look at the backdrop of the biblical text in which we were speaking out of and the place and contextualize where Solomon was at when he began to speak this. Solomon was in his folly, and Solomon was speaking out of his vanity at that particular time. And so here, when we put it at the backdrop, and in light of the scripture, as what Jeremiah was saying, 31 and 31, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay, now let's look in the New Testament or the Christian scripture. And it says over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, or the New Covenant, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Then Revelations 21 and 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And reason why we wanted to repeat the scriptural text, because we want to, again, contextualize the text itself and understand the vein in which Solomon was speaking. He was speaking out of a backslidden state because he has fallen from the Lord. And so he began to speak out of the state of mind in which he spoke this, in which he began to had turned to folly and vanity. And it was in this state and spirit that Solomon spent the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, so as we begin to understand that, we can even extract wisdom from that fact, because he was taken out of his place of blessing. And he could look back into the state in which he was at and recognize that, oh, God, he gave us the conclusion to the whole matter, because he was able to look from his fallen state and see the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandments and things. And so don't let it be said or done that we are out of that holy state and things and begin to look back into the place where we was with God. We must maintain and stay in that right place with God. Let's look further. Now, the problem within, man's heart is restless. Man's real problem lies within. His outward state of vexation is only a symptomatic of his inward corruption. Now, Jesus Christ addressed the fallen nature of mankind in Matthew 23, chapter verse 27 and verse 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are inward full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's Matthew 23, verses 27 through verse number 28. Now, let's take a moment and let's contextualize that for the relevancy of today's living of where we're at today. We must take this moment in time to examine our own hearts deeply. The scripture says, examine your heart, examine yourself, whether you even be in the faith. And so we must begin to examine our own heart and begin to gain a better understanding of where we are, what state that we're in. Is there any hypocrisy in our hearts? Is there any thing that is in our hearts that's not like you? I remember a song